This is Focus West Michigan for Monday, March 30, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Goodwill Industries of Greater Grand Rapids is managing a cybersecurity attack that disrupted its West Michigan network, WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
Goodwill announced the attack on its website Friday that targeted its retail stores in Kent, Ionia, Montcalm, Macosta, Isabella, and Ottawa counties. While its 18 stores remain open, customers are limited to cash-only payments. Goodwill clarified it does not retain credit card data, shielding past customers from potential financial theft. Andrew Califoot, director of Grand Valley State University's Institute for Cybersecurity, Education and Research, explains nonprofits are a prime target.
A perception from the people doing the attack that nonprofits maybe don't have as good defenses as large businesses. So this makes them more attractive of a target because the adversary thinks they're more likely to succeed.
The impact on nonprofits can be devastating.
The financial damage, but there is a big reputational risk. If donors feel like their personal information is in jeopardy, they may be less likely to make a donation in the future.
Califoot notes attacks can be mitigated with staff training, regular software updates, and data backups.
Our institute is very willing to partner with nonprofits and small businesses on vulnerability assessments and security audits that these organizations might not have the expertise to do.
I'm Dee Morrison.
A new Native American education library is the first of its kind in Michigan. As WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us, it shifts learning about Native Americans to learning from authentic indigenous voices.
We have over 4,000 books. We have books from all our 12 federally recognized tribes.
Amy Westcott is the Title VI Indian Education Coordinator for the Native American Education Program at Strait School in Grand Rapids.
We also have books from tribes that are outside of our Michigan tribes because we service all Native American federally recognized students throughout the United States.
The Grand Rapids Public Schools Elementary is opening its Native American Education Library this week. The book and artifact collection highlights the histories and cultures of tribes from across the country.
We had students in our program that were asking, how come we don't see our tribe in the library? And I'm like, wow, you know what? I never thought about it like that. So we started identifying books that pertain to our students who were tribal affiliated here at GRPS. So that's what's in our library.
Many books are written in 16 different languages. Students in the Native American Education Program and teachers across the district can borrow library materials, including games, coloring, and comic books. The federally funded program serves more than 200 GRPS students representing 29 tribes. I'm David Limbaugh.
Georgetown Township is asking residents to water their lawns less often. Odd-numbered addresses water on odd days, even-number addresses on even days. WGVU's Phil Dawson reports they want to limit the expensive summer spike in water use.
If you're irrigating five times a week, just irrigate 3 days a week.
And Georgetown Township Superintendent Justin Statt wants residents to also avoid irrigating the lawn in the morning when the demand is high.
Residents need to step up and control their summer usage.
Because of lawn irrigation, Stat says water use triples in Georgetown Township in the summer. The township buys its water from Wyoming, and trustee John Schwalm says the price is based on peak use.
If we can all consume less water for particularly lawns, that could help us with our overall bill.
Officials say lawn watering also adds to the wear and tear on pipes, pumping stations, and other infrastructure all residents pay to maintain. Even though trustee Gary Velding says a majority are not responsible for the summer surge.
The pump is being wore out quicker by the heavy users, but we're going to all share the cost on that.
Trustee Kelly Kuiper wonders if requesting residents to voluntarily reduce lawn watering will have much impact.
It doesn't feel like the people who are the worst culprits are going to care that we're kindly suggesting they stop watering so much.
If residents don't voluntarily reduce usage, trustee Velding says they may adopt a tiered rate structure.
If they don't change their usage habits, we're going to charge them more.
I'm Phil Dawson.
The Grand Rapids Fire Department is warning the community about recreational fires and fire safety. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
With the weather warming up and more residents enjoying the outdoors, the Grand Rapids Fire Department wants the community to know that a permit is needed and required before having a wood-burning recreational fire on private property. Fire Marshal William Smith says the department has received several complaints recently about fires without permits. Fire Marshal Smith says, quote, our goal is to allow safe and responsible enjoyment of recreational fires while protecting public health and adhering to environmental standards, adding the permit process ensures that fires are controlled, properly located, and respectful of neighbors, end quote. A news release provides the details, noting residents must have a permit for any wood-burning recreational fire. Gas or propane fire pits do not need a permit. The initial permit costs $60 and renewals are $10. Permits are valid for 1 year. The city says it may revoke permits if violations occur and illegal or unsafe fires could lead to citations or fines. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Executives at Zealand-based MillerKnoll are warning investors the war in Iran could cost the company millions of dollars if it continues to escalate. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Fewer orders from the Middle East and higher transportation costs could cost MillerKnoll nearly $9 million. During a recent third-quarter earnings call, executives with the office furniture manufacturer offered a prediction should the war with Iran continue.
This region remains an important long-term growth opportunity for our international contract business. In the near term, the current conflict is creating disruption, and we do expect some impact to fourth quarter sales and costs.
That's MillerKnoll President and CEO Andy Owen. She said the company is also anticipating an increase in the cost of petroleum-based materials such as foam and plastic due to the conflict.
We've tried to layer into this guidance what we know today, which is higher oil costs, potentially higher logistics costs, shipping containers, as well as our inability to ship orders we have directly into the Middle East.
Owen said, despite these predictions, the company reported a solid third quarter, with net sales of $926.2 million, a 5.8% increase year over year, with plans to open more stores across the country.
We plan to open 3 to 4 more locations before the end of fiscal 2026, ending the year with 14 to 15 new stores in the U.S.
Executives say, as they've done in the past with tariffs, they'll watch the situation closely and adapt as needed. I'm David Limbaugh.
The Catholic Church in the U.S. is experiencing a surge in converts this year, with leaders citing a search for meaning in uncertain times. As WGVU's Dee Morrison reports, West Michigan is following that trend.
Across the 11-county diocese, we have 541 people joining the Catholic Church in West Michigan next Saturday at the Easter Vigil. And this is our highest number since 2011.
Annalise Laumeier, Director of Communications for the Diocese of Grand Rapids, attributes the increase to several factors.
People are searching for purpose. They're searching for belonging and community. And there's this underlying feeling that many of them have. There's something more to life.
Parish leaders note a younger demographic, people aged 25 to 40, particularly Gen Z, are drawn to the modern church embracing technology with online services, podcasts, and outreach.
This has given us new avenues, new ways to evangelize. Bishop Wachowiak has put an increased and a renewed emphasis on evangelization in the last 2 years. And so that's something that we can attribute to the increase here in West Michigan.
Some converts express a connection with the church's first American pope or a renewed interest in traditional Catholic doctrines, art, and moral teachings. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, Shelley Irwin looks at how the Land Conservancy of Western Michigan is celebrating its 50th anniversary, but first, news from around the state. The statewide general election ballot is starting to take shape as Michigan Republicans have selected their likely nominees for Attorney General and Secretary of State. Rick Pluta reports.
GOP delegates gave their early endorsement to Eaton County Prosecutor Doug Lloyd for Michigan Attorney General and Anthony Forlini for Secretary of State. Forlini, who is also a former legislator, says Democrats have held these offices for 8 years, and Republican delegates are more interested in candidates who can win than in ideological tests.
I think electability. I think established leadership in the past. I've got a record of getting things done.
Democrats will hold a similar convention in April to endorse for the vacant Attorney General and Secretary of State positions. But those nominations must still be finalized at party conventions in August to qualify for the ballot. I'm Rick Pluta in Novi.
The U.S. Education Secretary stopped in Metro Detroit on Friday to encourage Michigan leaders to sign the state up for a federal scholarship program. Colin Jackson has more.
The program offers tax breaks in return for donations to nonprofits that award scholarships. Those awards could help low-income families with costs like school supplies, tutoring, or private school tuition. McMahon says because it's funded by private donations, it doesn't take education funding away from public schools.
This is real empowerment, meeting each child where they are and supporting their unique path rather than confining them to a rigid, one-size-fits-all system. And the best part? It costs Michigan nothing.
Democrats have traditionally criticized similar plans as still putting public resources toward private schools, something that's unconstitutional on the state level. The governor has reportedly said she needs more information before deciding what to do. I'm Colin Jackson in Detroit.
Outrage at immigration and customs enforcement agents, as well as the Trump administration as a whole, was a big focus of the No Kings rallies over the weekend. More than 100 people protested outside a warehouse in Romulus. ICE plans to use it as a detention center. Maxwell Pizzurro made the trip from Chesterfield Township.
I just think it's really gross, these new camps that are opening up, how they're just treating regular people. I mean, there's no difference between me or a migrant who comes here. We're all just looking to make a good life for us and our families.
Steve Kahn of Detroit says if people don't speak up, then the situation will get worse.
We got to make sure people understand. If you don't stand up now for immigrants, you too will be in there.
State and Romulus city leaders are suing the Department of Homeland Security to stop the warehouse project. They say the building is too close to schools and neighborhoods. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. The Land Conservancy of Western Michigan kicks off its 50th anniversary with an outdoor event series heading to the Lake Michigan shoreline for a hike. WGVU Shelley Irwin speaks with Advancement Manager Marie Ortenberger about the celebrational year and activities.
Good work happens under the Land Conservancy of West Michigan, kicking off a 50th anniversary come this month of April, an outdoor event series you don't want to miss. Our beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline hike. We'll talk about anything that has to do with land and conserving in West Michigan. Well, you get my vote. Looking forward to this conversation with you, Marie Ortenberger, Advancement Manager at LCWM. Hi to you, Marie.
Hello, Shelley. Thank you for having me today.
Yes, yes. Well, you most likely have not been with the Land Conservancy for 50 years, but congratulations. Celebrating an anniversary, yes?
Yes. We're kicking off our 50th year this year, 50 years of keeping nature nearby. It's a major milestone for our organization, but also a little bit of a drop in the bucket in terms of our mission of keeping nature nearby in perpetuity. So,
I like that. Let's take that apart. First of all, remind me of the work that the Land Conservancy of West Michigan does in general.
The Land Conservancy protects West Michigan's ecologically critical land. So we do this in a variety of ways. We create public nature preserves. We also provide support to communities and local governments in their efforts to create public natural areas and parks. And we also help private landowners protect their own land. So some of the places that you might know in West Michigan, Saugatuck Harbor Natural Area, just north of Oval Beach, Ottawa Sands and North Ottawa Dunes in Ottawa County, Salt Lake Bog Nature Preserve, or the Highlands here in Grand Rapids, these have all been protected in partnership with the Land Conservancy and organizations, funders, and communities all throughout West Michigan.
Nice and strong for sure. Here we are, and what proves that is 50 years of making good things happen. So what does happen this month, specifically on the 18th, just to start the celebrations, Marie?
Yeah, so to honor these past five decades of work, we're kicking off a three-part event series that we're calling our Explorathon. So on April 18th, the first event will take place. That's going to be a guided hike along the Lake Michigan shoreline. So each of the Explorathon events is designed to highlight connected, protected land in the unique environments that are characteristic of West Michigan. So we're starting on the iconic Lake Michigan shoreline, and the hike will have a couple of different options for people. We'll start at PJ Hoffmaster State Park in Norton Shores, and participants can choose between a 2-mile or a 7-mile hike. Each hike will be led by a naturalist who will share about the history of the land and highlight notable natural features along the way. There will be aid stations staged with refreshments, staffed by representatives from our partner organizations, the DNR, Ottawa County Parks, and KLH Dunes Preserve. And the 7-mile hike will take us through 2,500 acres of contiguous protected natural land on the Lake Michigan shoreline. And there will be different pace groups, so you can choose the pace at which you want to hike. So it's a great opportunity to see and feel the impact of 50 years of commitment to conservation. And after the hike, we'll have an after party, celebrate the achievement of hiking across these 7 miles, and enjoy food and drink, prizes and more as we come together to celebrate.
Very cool. There is a small ticketed price. I trust those dollars go right back into your organization.
That's correct, yes.
So what do I wear for something like this?
That's a great question. So April can be finicky in West Michigan. So I definitely encourage people to dress for the weather of the day. Wear good hiking shoes. Make sure that you're prepared in the event of rain. We do hike rain or shine. So be prepared for the temperature. But yeah, I think of utmost importance is comfortable footwear, and you bring water. We also will provide ticketed attendees with a free water bottle and an opportunity to fill up that too. So, yeah, I think.
Very nice. Again, to celebrate a 50-year Land Conservancy of West Michigan kicking off, of course, so with the outdoor event series with this Lake Michigan Shoreline Hike, of course, on April 18th, speaking with Marie Ottenberger. Marie, let's talk. I say this is an outdoor event series. Is that true?
That is correct, yes. So there will be two more events later in the year. We'll do a guided bike ride on June 6th. And that will take place in the eastern part of Kent County through the unique, topographically diverse environs in that region. And then we'll have on August 29th a guided paddle through the Pierre Marquette River. So these are two more opportunities to, again, see that impact of connected, protected natural land and immerse yourself in these kind of beautiful, iconic environments that are characteristic of our West Michigan area.
What else do you have in store for the year? Just pay attention to, I trust, website and more?
Yes. Yeah. Well, so we'll share our history and storytelling throughout the year. Follow us on social media. Subscribe to our e-newsletter to learn all about the relationships that have made conservation possible over these past 50 years.
Because we need at least 50 more. There we are. Do that math. Marie, thank you very much for your good work on behalf of the Land Conservancy of West Michigan. Time, talents, and treasures to support you, Advancement Manager. Enjoy this year. I'm sure we'll touch base in between. Take care.
Thank you so much, Shelley.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Monday, March 30, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Buehrling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.